Okay, good morning. I'm Michael Huang, spelled H as in house, W as in whiskey, A as in alpha, N as in November, G as in gamma, and I'm a tax policy specialist with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division of the Department of Revenue. I will be the facilitator for this public meeting. It is 10:02 right now on September 28th, 2022. We'd like to thank you all for taking your time to attend this meeting and provide us with your feedback. Please note that we are best able to consider your comments if you provide them to us in writing, which can be sent to me personally at michaelhw@dor.wa.gov. Before we proceed further, I would like to remind everyone that please, if you could mute yourself so that we don't have overlapping noises, I'd appreciate that. Now we will begin the scheduled public meeting for the solicitation of comments regarding the proposed language for WAC 458-20-300 or Rule 300 titled Capital Gains Tax Administrative. Other persons present for this meeting include Atif Aziz in his role as the department's rules coordinator and Sierra Crumbaker, management analyst who is monitoring our recording equipment this morning as this meeting is being recorded. For reasons related to COVID, we are conducting this meeting through Microsoft Teams. Participants here are joined through Microsoft Teams as well as through phone. We do not have other parties physically present for this meeting. We have parties joining this meeting through Teams. I will go down the list of attendees displayed on Teams. And for the record, please identify yourself. And if you're representing someone, please state who you're representing. And please identify whether you have comments that you would like to make later.
No, that's fine. That's Dad's input. You don't want that.
Okay, just to go down the list, starting with the telephone number, we have 206-477-7565. Could you please identify yourself? Okay, I do not see the telephone number anymore.
Just said the mic is not working.
Yeah, it's the Teams. I think when you signed on to Teams.
Oh, your volume's down.
The next number we have is 615-818-5587. Could you please identify yourself?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Shen. I'm a Washington resident.
Okay, thank you. And would you like to make any comments throughout the presentation or hearing?
I'll just listen for now.
Okay, thank you. The next number we have is 646-258-4049. Could you please identify yourself and indicate whether you'd like to make comments throughout the meeting?
Michael here, Washington resident, no comment, just listening.
Okay, thank you. Next we have Angie Peters.
Good morning, Washington resident, no comment at this time.
Thank you. Next, we have Michelle Basler.
Yeah, this is Michelle Basler from KPMG. No comment.
Thank you. And I apologize ahead of time if I mispronounce your name. Next, we have Kaylin Baker.
No comment.
Thank you. And we have Brian Aragon.
Hi, I'm representing Amazon, but I do not have any comments.
Thank you. Next, we have Carolyn Solitaire.
Hi, I'm just coming as a parent, learning and listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Chrissy with no last name. Okay, we can come back to Chrissy. Next, we have Connor without a last name.
Yes, Connor, Washington resident and accountant. No comment for now.
Thank you. Next, we have Connor O'Leary.
Hey, Washington resident. I'm not really sure how to make this comment, but I am in favor of a capital gains tax. And I have sort of a legal question, but what kind of comments are you looking for at this time?
Oh, the comments that I was referring to was, I just wanted to see if there's I just wanted to have an indication as to whether you might have any questions on the Rule 300. We have a comment period coming up after my presentation. So I just wanted to get an initial indication.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Then I'd love to chime in after that.
Yep. Thank you very much. Next, we have Doug Guyman.
Yes, Washington resident. I have no comments right now.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Erica Young.
I'm a Washington CPA, and I don't have any comments right now.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Samantha Fong.
Hi, I'm Samantha Fong from Thomson Reuters. No comment.
Thank you. Next, we have Gary Fujita.
It's Gary Fujita from the law firm Eisenhower Carlson. I'm not representing anybody. I'm just observing. No comments planned at this point.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have George Walker.
Washington CPA, interested in the new law. No comments at this time.
Thank you. Next, we have Heidi Baxter.
Heidi Baxter, Washington attorney, listening in, just curious about what's going to happen with this.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Christopher Hesse.
Washington CPA, listening in, no comments.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Jade Copeters.
Jade Copeters, attorney for Scarf Law Firm. I'm not representing anyone, but I am an academic on the subject. Michael, can you confirm whether there will be a second follow-up meeting on October 5th?
Yes, there will be a second public hearing on this same rule on October the 5th.
Okay, then I'll reserve my comments till then, and I'll submit written comments for that one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And next we have Jason Mercier.
Yes, good morning. I do have a question, but I can hold it for the next period. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Jeff Villa.
Washington CPA, no comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Jessica Rice.
I'm a Washington CPA and no comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Joe Strong.
Good morning, Joe Strong, representing Microsoft. Do not intend making comments.
Thank you. Next, we have Kathy Cook.
Hi, Washington resident and financial planner. No comments.
Thank you. Next, we have, your name is cut off, for Maggie Humphr.
Good morning, Maggie Humphreys, yes. Moms Rising. No planned comments at this time.
Okay, thank you, and I apologize for that. Next, we have Mark Hawkins.
Hello, Mark Hawkins with Moss Adams LLP, not representing any clients. I do not have comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. And next, we have Matthew. Last name spelled D-E-S-V-O-I, and then it gets cut off. Okay, we'll move on to Michelle with no last name.
Hi, my name is Michelle. I'm a Washington resident. My only comment is that
I felt blindsided by the capital gains tax and am opposed to it, and I am here to listen to learn more.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Paul Jones.
Yes, I'm a reporter with Tax Notes. I have no comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Peter W.
Hi, Washington resident. 25-year tech employee, just here to listen and learn.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Rachel with no last name.
Rachel Robertson, City Comrade. No comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Sabrina Lai.
Hi, Washington resident and financial advisor. I have no comments at this time.
Thank you. Next, we have Salim Farouk.
Salim Farouk. I'm a business owner here in Washington. No comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Scott with no last name.
Want some more coffee?
Yeah, decaf black, please.
Okay, we'll move on to Scott Moser.
Yeah, Washington CPA, Moser and Company. And we do a lot of tax planning, and so we're really scratching our heads about how to approach this law. So we're hoping to gain some insight through this session.
Yep, thank you very much. Next, we have Seth Bone, B-O-U-N.
Hello. Good morning. I am I'm interning as a legislative action organizer for Northwest Progressive Institute, and I have no comment.
Okay. Thank you very much. And next we have Sonja Barker.
Sonja Barker with Perkins and Company Accounting. I do not intend to make any comments.
Okay. Thank you. And my apologies. Next we have Stephen DeJordevich. D-J-O-R, yes.
Stephen Georgevich, Washington CPA. No comments at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Rebecca Turner.
Washington CPA, no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Wendy Falls. Okay, we can move on. Next, participant YS. Okay, I'd like to take this opportunity to ask if I missed any participants, and if I did, could you please identify yourself for the record?
Can you hear me, Wayne?
Yes.
My name is Chuck Hallett, and I'm a retired CPA, sat on federal tax committees and national, state of Washington, and Idaho basis, former president of the Washington Society of CPA, sat on national council to the American Institute of CPAs, interned with the Internal Revenue Service, worked for the largest international firm in their tax department, Deloitte, and started a large CPA firm here in city of Olympia. And with regard to the Quinn versus State of Washington decision, I believe it's illegal because it's pretty basic. When you look for the definition of what IRS considers gross income, they define it as wages, dividends, capital gains, business income, retirement distributions, as well as other income. Section 61A defines gross income as income from whatever source derived. And in the big picture, when you look at Code Section 61A, subparagraph 3, it talks specifically about gains derived from dealings in property. So I can go on and on about it, but it appears to be an income tax. Just flat out.
And okay, that's thank all you. I
have at this time.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Do we have any other participants?
I think it said he had to push control something.
Hearing none. And if I could please ask if you can please mute your microphones so that there aren't any overlapping noises. Thank you. Okay, to continue on with the public hearing, this meeting is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of Chapter 3405 RCW, the Administrative Procedures Act. The purpose of this meeting is to solicit comments from the public on possible rulemaking prior to taking action to propose a new rule. This meeting was announced through a publication in the State Register as WSR 22-18-097, which was filed with the Code Revisor on September 7th, 2022. The purpose of this meeting is to solicit comments from the public prior to regarding a new rule relating to the new capital gains tax, WAC 458-20-300, herein will be referred to as Rule 300. Electronic copies of this rule are available. If you did not receive a copy, please contact Sierra Crumbaker at sierra.dor.wa.gov if you'd like to have a copy of the rule draft. We emphasize that the rule draft as now written is provided for discussion purposes only. We will consider any comments received pertaining to the preliminary rule draft. We appreciate receiving written comments and will evaluate all comments as we proceed with the rulemaking process. You may send written comments to the attention to myself, Michael Huang, at the following email address: Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, H-W, House Whiskey, at dor.wa.gov. In this way, the department can fully consider your comments before proceeding with future rulemaking activities. I will also write down my email address in the chat just for clarity. Before opening the meeting for comments, we'd like to provide the following introduction and disclaimer pertaining to this rule. Effective January 1st, 2022, Chapter 8287 RCW imposes an excise tax on sales or exchange of long-term capital assets. This proposed rule seeks to clarify administrative aspects of the excise tax on capital gains, such as proper filing procedures and penalties related to this excise tax. In March of 2022, the Douglas County Superior Court ruled in Quinn versus State of Washington that the excise tax on capital gains does not meet state constitutional requirements and therefore is unconstitutional and invalid. The state has appealed this ruling to the Washington Supreme Court. While the appeal is pending, the department will continue to provide guidance, such as this rule, to the public regarding the tax as a courtesy. This rule will apply only if the tax is ruled constitutional and valid by the Washington Supreme Court. I will briefly outline the key points the department would like to address in this meeting. The department intends to introduce and clarify administrative issues that pertain to the Washington capital gains excise tax through six general parts: introduction and overview, filing of returns, extensions, payment of tax, penalties and interest, and general administrative matters. In the first part, we introduce general concepts related to Washington capital gains excise tax, such as who may be subject to the excise tax. In the second part, we discuss matters related to filing of returns, such as due dates, filing requirements, and amended return requirements. In the third part, we discuss matters related to extensions. Please note that we will provide more details on the mechanics of filing an extension with the department in the next rule update. We will note that as of now, taxpayers are required to file with the department an extension to file capital gains excise tax returns on or before the original filing deadline. In the fourth part, we discuss matters related to payments, such as the proper payment requirements. In the fifth part, we discuss matters related to penalties and interest, such as penalties for late filings and late payments. In the sixth and final part, we discuss other administrative matters, such as taxpayers' burden of proof, procedures for refunds, and how to seek an informal review of the department's assessment for assessments or rulings. At this time, we'd like to hear any comments after you identify yourself for the record. Also, remember, as mentioned earlier, we are best able to consider your comments in the rulemaking process if you provide them to us in writing to michaelhw@dor.wa.gov. And thank you. I will now proceed with comments. And if we could use the hand button, I think that would make for an orderly process when it comes to receiving comments. And I do see a hand. One moment, please. Yes, Jason Mercier.
Great, thank you, Michael. I had a question with the rule addressing the payments and the penalties. With this rule being contingent upon the Supreme Court reinstating the tax, and it looking like they may not have arguments on this until their winter term, what happens if we get past that April collection date without a ruling from the court as far as the filing expectations and payment expectations?
Yes, that is an excellent question, and thank you for that. At this time, we do not know when or how the Washington Supreme Court will rule on this issue. So until then, we plan on providing further guidance as to this particular issue. But at this time, through this rule, we do not address that specific concern.
Hello, I'm on the phone, so I cannot raise my hand. Can I go?
Yes, sorry. Yes, I forgot about that. Yes, could you please identify yourself and proceed with your comment?
Sure. Hi, this is Jen. Just to follow up on the previous question, so are you saying if the ruling is not completed by end of this year, does that mean capital gains will be taxed or not taxed for 2022?
I will, if you'd like to provide a written comment on this, I can certainly provide you with a more definitive answer, but as of now, without any further legislative action, we are just assuming that the rule will stand as it is, and the rule as it is states that the excise tax will be levied beginning on January 1st, 2022. Yes, Scott. Yes, Scott, could you please go ahead with your comment?
I'm having a little trouble with my system. Will the state refund the tax? Should they collect it? And then ultimately the law is declared unconstitutional. So if I pay 2022 taxes now and the court rules late 2023, will my clients get refunds?
Yes, in that hypothetical scenario, the department shouldn't be collecting capital gains excise tax anyway. So I am going to assume that that is what will happen.
Can I just jump in for a second? This is Atif Aziz. I'm also with the Department of Revenue. I don't think it's even possible to submit payment for the capital gains tax right now, or if it is, I don't think we're actively collecting it. So what happens for the first, for the filing deadline in April is gonna depend on, in large part on whatever the Supreme Court rules. So right now we're just watching and waiting. If we don't get a decision by April, I anticipate that department will be putting out other guidance regarding the filing deadline and penalties and interest imposition starting on April. But that'll happen before the April deadline comes up. But for now, this is this meeting is mainly to address the rule draft that we have, which it aims for provides long-term guidance, some guidance specific to 2022 tax year. It's going to come out separately, I anticipate.
Thank you, Atif. Okay, we have a couple of more hands. Doug Guyman.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I have three questions.
Yes.
The first is, can capital losses be netted against long-term capital gains? And if so, can the capital losses be both short-term and long-term? And thirdly, can such losses be carried forward into future years to be netted against future long-term gains?
Thank you for the comment. As for the substantive aspects of this tax, I would much prefer if you could please provide me with an email so that I can provide you with the in-depth answer to these questions. But generally speaking, we are dealing with net long-term losses. So net implies we can net long-term gains and losses. The third part of your question was carryover. I do not believe there is a carryovers that are allowed. And your second question, I believe, was pertaining to short-term gains. I do not, since the excise tax is based on net long-term capital gains, that naturally implies that short-term gains will not be allowed to be net. Again, if you'd like a more detailed answer, I'd be happy to provide you with one if you can send me an email with your question. Thank you. Next, we have Mark Hawkins.
Yes, thank you. In the regulation, there is discussion on the filing of returns and how they would be filed electronically. Is it the department's intention to publish draft income tax returns on the website so that we can see how the mechanics of these returns will work? Or does the department anticipate that the filings will be exclusively an online platform where the inputs would exist only on the website and there would not be a template for us to look at on how we would advise clients to prepare these returns?
As it is with other excise tax returns, I guess that's not true. For now, we are planning on providing taxpayers with an exclusively online platform for filing returns. As for whether there will be a paper option available, that could be situational per the provisions under Chapter 8232 RCW. But for now, we are preparing an online platform for filing returns.
Is this something that can be provided to the tax preparation software outfits so that we can do these returns through existing tax software, or would it be exclusively a filing that exists only on the department's website that we see in, say, other states like the Ohio Business Gateway?
Yeah, that's a great question. Unfortunately, that is beyond the scope of my knowledge, but if you send me an email, I'd be happy to follow up on that question for you.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Mark Hawkins.
I'm sorry. That.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. No problem. Do we have any other comments on this rule 300? Oh, sorry, Mark. Was that a new question or?
Yeah, I actually have one more follow-up question. Is it the department's intention to provide guidance on how the credit for capital gains tax or capital gains taxes or income taxes paid to other states would work with offsetting a Washington domicile individual's Washington capital gains tax liability?
Yes, that is the department's intention. And in fact, as we have mentioned previously, any suggestions when it comes to a need for guidance. I appreciate it if I can receive them in writing so that I have a working list of concerns that I might need to address. Again, my email address is Michael, MICHAELHW at dor.wa.gov.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Gary Fujita.
I have a couple of questions. Maybe I missed it in the rule, but my first question is how will the state notify individuals? I mean, businesses are pretty much in tune with tracking issues that come out of the tax code, but individuals not so much. So my first question is how will the state reach out to these individuals? And second is how will the individuals identify themselves on the returns, because I don't anticipate they'll be getting UBI numbers. Maybe that's beyond the scope of what you're doing with this rule, but I thought I had to ask the question.
Yeah, unfortunately, these two questions, I'm not too privy as to what the efforts on our end might be in terms of reaching out to businesses, but we are certainly making every effort to inform taxpayers. On our website, we have a dedicated capital gains tax website that taxpayers, individuals, businesses alike can visit for up-to-date information. But thank you for that. We will definitely make efforts to reach out to individuals and businesses about the tax, as well as who may be affected or identify some ways or suggest some ways that individuals can identify themselves as a potential capital gains excise tax payer. Salim?
But hi, Michael. Thank you for everything so far. But question on capital gains for pass-through entities that or pass-through individuals who own entities at this point in time, and in case of sale or share swap, what is the impact on that? Is there I'm looking at the website now. It just says that no individual will be the business does not own owe the tax, but the individuals will. Is that the intent?
So just to provide you with some general concepts, and again, I'd be more than happy to provide you with a written response with a lot more details if you'd like. Besides individuals, beneficial owners of long-term capital gains assets might be liable for capital gains excise tax. So I believe that is identified or defined under RCW 8287040. So it just depends on the nature or characteristics of the stock, I suppose.
Okay. And then the follow-up question on that, if we decide as an organization to sell or give away shares to individuals in the company, is that considered capital gain also for the owners, if it's an S corp in that case, or an LLC of some sort?
Yeah, so capital gains excise tax is levied on sales or exchanges of long-term capital assets. Whether or not that particular hypothetical that you raised to me forms a sale or exchange, I would not be able to commit an answer for you. But again, if you provide me with a written question, yeah, I'd be more than happy to look into it.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Jesus. Again, for accessibility purposes, I will write down my email address in the chat. And I'll also write down Sierra's email address as well, if you need electronic copies of the proposed Rule 300. Gary, did you still have a question, or was that from the last time, the hand?
That was from the last time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Samantha Fung?
Oh, yeah, sorry if I missed this. You said a draft version of the rule will be made available electronically. Is it available on the website now?
Yes, it should be. So I'm just taking a look myself.
Michael, I can provide a link to the draft regulation in the chat box if you'd like.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I do recall. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm very certain that it should be on the DORA website, but yeah. It should be on the rulemaking agenda section under DORA.gov. Yes, thank you. That looks to be the accurate link. Okay, Samantha, I'm going to assume that you don't have any more comments, and the hand is just from your previous question. Do we have any other comments or questions regarding Rule 300? I'd like to give folks a few more minutes just to provide as many opportunities to provide us with your comments or concerns or input regarding the Rule 300. Yes, Mark. Sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Yes, sorry. Thank you. With respect to the how Washington will follow the federal separate filer, joint filer, married filing separate, has the department given any consideration as to what may happen where a spousal unit filing a joint return for federal purposes, where one is a domicile of Washington and the other is not? And on the joint filed 1040, there is capital gains arising from intangibles. Would the would the gain be split 50-50 between the Washington domiciled individual and the non-Washington domiciled individual that would not be taxed?
Actually, that's an interesting question. I'd actually like to take a look at that for you.
I'll send you an email, just kind of like laying out the three things that we talked about, just to have a reminder. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for your questions. Really appreciate it. I'm happy to provide guidance on that front as well. Okay, I currently see Samantha's hand, Gary's hand. I don't know if they're from existing hands, but are there any other questions or comments pertaining to Rule 300 at this time?
This is Gary. I raised my hand again.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. In terms of individuals and, you know, whether you're a resident or not, we're supposed to track days. I mean, what would be competent record that the department accepts in terms of an individual's days in, days out of the state?
I'll just say, without making too much of a commitment to a position, the department will probably consider any and all things possible that would prove that an individual was physically present in Washington or not. It may include receipts, credit card records, or that's personally what I can think of, but I do not have a solid answer for you on that front.
Will the rule maybe have some examples? I mean, I know in some other states that some people have tried using like their Google tracking data to present that for states in terms of where their location has been. And I think some states have accepted it and some states haven't. But I think that may be maybe not for all individuals, but for mobile individuals that spend time in different states, that might be an important guidance for them to get, is what kind of record keeping do they need in order to satisfy the department's inquiry into how many days in and how many days out. I'm not suggesting Google. I'm just raising that as a possible
solution. Problem. And thank you for the comment. That is certainly very interesting. I personally have not thought of that possibility, but I'd be happy to raise that with the department and work on providing guidance on the front as well. Thank you.
And just to jump in, we are planning on a separate piece of guidance on domicile and the 183 day measurement. So it won't be part of this rule, but I'm pretty sure we'll have some other guidance out on that.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, AK. Could you please identify yourself?
My name is Adel, A-D-E-L, last name Kuja. I joined a bit late. Is there going to be a transcript or recording of this call?
Yes, there's a. The recording will be posted on our website. I'll provide the link for you in the chat.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there are no other comments, I'd like to proceed with the closing aspects of this public hearing. If we can make that link for the recording made available in the chat. Yes, Thank you, Atif. So please use the chat for a link to the recording of this meeting in case you joined late or for whatever reason.
Where is the chat at?
The chat should be towards the top right section of the Microsoft Teams meeting. There's a section called People and Chat and Reactions. You can click on the chat and you should see the link to the recording of this hearing, as well as my email address for submission of written comments. Okay, I'll proceed with the closing aspects of this public hearing, but if you have any comments, please feel free to jump in. I'd like to first recap the rulemaking process for everyone. This has been the initial... I thought I heard a question. This has been the initial public meeting for input regarding the proposed Rule 300 on administrative Washington capital gains excise tax matters. As a result of the comments received during this meeting or other public hearings, the department will draft a proposed rule amendment to Rule 300. When the drafting is completed, the draft is filed with the code reviser and is published in the state register, after which a public rulemaking hearing is held. After the hearing, additional changes may be made and the final draft is filed for adoption with the code reviser. Unlike today's public meeting and the public hearing, the final filing of a rule is not a public process. Rather, the final filing is just a filing of the notice of adoption. Absent an emergency adoption or unless otherwise stated, a rule becomes effective 31 days after filing for adoption. To the extent that rule changes are the result of specific statutory changes, such changes are effective on the effective date of the law change, regardless of when the rule is adopted. Barring any further public comments or inputs, thank you for participating in this meeting. If you're not on the department rules notification list or did not receive a notice of today's meeting directly from the department and you want to be kept informed of future rulemaking activities related to this rule, please provide Sierra with your name, mailing address, and email address. Sierra can be reached at Sierra, C-S-I-E-R-R-A, and the letter C, as in Charlie, at dor.wa.gov. With that, I'd like to adjourn this meeting. For the record, the time now is 10:50 a.m. on September 28th, 2022.